Poetry Rock's Tool 13, The Bard. And the purpose of The Bard is to work and play with sound in your writing through the repetition of words, phrases, lines, stanzas, and or sentences. And in the last tool, as we focused on consonant and vowel sounds, we were making use of the music of repetition. And today we're moving up from sounds into repeating words, phrases, lines, sentences, and even whole stanzas. And these are all elements that can be repeated to good sound effect. Repetition is a powerful memory aid, and it's also really pleasing. So pleasing, in fact, that in medieval Gaelic and British culture, monarchs and noblemen often employed their own professional poet, called a bard, to commemorate the patron's ancestors and to praise the patron's own activities, and they used a lot of repetition, some of that, a lot of it in the form of rhyme. And I'm going to read you the first stanza of a poem by William Bridie Rands called Great, Wide, Beautiful, Wonderful World, because I'm sure it was the repetition of that word wonderful, just as much as it was the rhyme and the message of the poem, that had my 7-year-old self remember this by heart through the years. And I think I first came across this in my third grade reader, if you remember back in the day when kids in school had readers. And I'll just read the first stanza, but the word wonderful keeps on going in the poem. Great, wide, beautiful, wonderful world, with the wonderful water round you curled, and the wonderful grass upon your breast. World, you are beautifully dressed. So that's one example of repeating with a word. And I'm going to go over some other choices now as we talk about what to do. So what you're going to do is write a poem in which you use repetition as a poetic device to increase its musicality. And keep in mind that you need to repeat an element enough so that the reader hears it. Just like I mentioned in the last tool, 3 is a good minimum number. And don't overdo your repetition and tire or exasperate your reader unless you really are going for being clever or humorous or for particular effect. And here's the elements that you can use for repetition. And the first is words. And that poem that I just read you is a great example of repeating the word beautiful. And if you want a challenge, here's a graduate level activity for you. One poetic form that uses repetition of words in a particular pattern at the end of lines is called a sestina. And I have a link to it. And those are a lot of fun to try if you like that kind of challenge. So you can repeat individual words. You can repeat a phrase, and you may want to try, as my example poem is one, try a litany. And according to Dictionary of Poetic Terms by Jack Elliott Myers and Don C. Wackish, maybe is how you pronounce his name, a litany is a chant-like list meant as an incantation or highly emotional catharsis. And you really can just start off with a phrase like I am or I remember, and I think you could call the list poem Christopher Smart did for his cat. I think that's actually a form of litany. And you'll find all kinds of poetic litanies. If you just Google that word, you will just be amazed how many poems are litanies. And one of my favorites is by the former poet laureate of the United States, Billy Collins. And I have a link so you can read it. And I also have a link to a video where Billy reads it out loud. And I just think it's hilarious. So you might want to check that out. So you can repeat words. You can repeat phrases. You can repeat whole lines. And you may remember way back to Eat a Peach, Amanda, I talked about a refrain where I have the being a good year for peaches as a kind of a refrain, and that's an example of that. And you can also think of that final repeated line in Robert Frost Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, that repetition of that ending line, very powerful. So you can do that. And one thing that has a poetic form that actually has as a part of it whole repeated lines. You can try a villanelle or a pantoum. And again, I have links to those if you want to take on that kind of challenge. And then the last thing you can do is repeat an entire stanza, which is just a longer form of refrain. So you can pick one of those things to repeat, or you can pick more than one. It's up to you. And my example is called The Color of Crushed Strawberries. And this is one of the first poems that I ever wrote when I began writing poetry in my early 30s. I wrote a lot of poetry when I was a kid and in high school and college, and I kind of stopped and went back to it. And I took a poetry class with Judy Goldman, and she read us a sentence by the writer Edward Hirsch and asked us to write a response. And I wrote a litany to my mother, and this was actually one of my first published poems. The Color of Crushed Strawberries. My mother is dressed in a dress the color of crushed strawberries. Edward Hirsch. My mother is dressed in a flannel nightgown the color of faded morning glories. On her knees, on the hardwood floor of her bedroom, mumbling Hail Marys, begging forgiveness for the sin of not wanting 5 children's worth of work. My mother is dressed in an apron the color of ashes, by the stove, frying sugared parsnips, spearing chunks of city chicken, serving salted complaints about our not appreciating her. My mother is dressed in corduroy pants, the color of sodden newspapers, on a stepladder, the smell of ammonia strong, the window panes squeaking, the streaks meekly disappearing in the face of her furious rubbing. My mother is dressed in a raveled sweater, the color of old snow, scrubbing socks on a washboard. She is not dressed in her wedding rings. They hang on the Virgin Mary's white ceramic hands, the palms together, pointing upward in supplication. How I longed to see her in lipstick the color of crushed strawberries, humming as she dressed in blue watered silk. But summer upon summer, after we'd bruised our knees on the packed soil of the fields, bent over the sink, hauling entire afternoons away, she let me wield the potato masher in the copper-bottomed pot filled with the makings of next winter's jam. And I just had a memory of showing this to my mother and wondering how she would feel. And she said the nicest thing. She wondered if I had picked those particular images because they fit the poem or if those were my primary images of her. And then she also said that she felt honored by this poem, even though it wasn't necessarily flattering, because she could tell I really saw her, and that really made me happy. So that was kind of a nice moment. So, and one other thing I forgot to say about the litany, I talked about not overdoing repetition, but when you have a litany, that's exactly what you're doing. You really are doing a kind of an incantation or chant, and so you'll have a fair amount of repetition on that. And now here's a reflection for you. As you play with musicality and repetition, you may be noticing an increased rhythm or perhaps movement emerging in your own writing. Consider the relationship between poetry and music. How are they similar, and how do they differ?